purple members, the two departments, Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, as well as the Department of Trade, Industry and Innovation and Competition, I'm sorry. They will bear with me. The committee staff and everyone present in today's meeting. I hope I'm correct. I see the DM, Deputy Minister Mhlonishwa Ubaba Majola. Thank you very much for being here with your delegation. You are most welcome. But before I go any further, can I check any apologies?
Good morning, honorable members and our guests. Sorry. I've got an apology from Honorable Zungula. He's going to join us after 11. And the minister, he's attending the NCCC meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. We are supposed to start with, am I correct? We are supposed to start with DTIC, ne?
Yes, sir.
Correct.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Can I then give over? I hope I'm not. If I'm making a protocol error, you will bear with me. DM, we on this side we don't have a DM. So if I happen to recognize you and there is someone I should have recognized ahead of you, you will bear with me. I just saw your gadget that confirms your presence. If it happens that either the minister or someone else I should have recognized, you will bear with me. But before I give it to you, we have been engaging with the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy on the Black Industrialist Program. And whilst we're dealing with those issues, we had two challenges which we thought maybe when we invite yourselves you will be able to help us as we continue to perform our work as a portfolio committee responsible for mineral resources and energy. The first issue is our conceptual understanding of the Black Industrialist Program. And we understand that it is under the custodianship of your department. And on those basis, then we said that before we can monitor whether the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy is performing to the expectations generally that would be there with regards to the program, we need to have a first-hand understanding of what it is, that is the program itself. But secondly, is to get a sense, maybe, how beyond where we are as a sector, whether we can say the department is on course in its executing of this task. And we then said, so you are not here to account. There is a portfolio committee responsible for yourselves to account, but you are here to alert us on this specific program so that we can be able to perform from a point of basic understanding of the program itself. That is nothing else but beyond what you are here for. So we hope we have a better understanding, and then we'll be able to monitor and ensure that the program is on course. And if it is not, we can be able to say where do we think there is lack. So we are still going to go to the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy to deal now specifically with their performance, the extent of work that they would have done. But we think we'll be better off to measure that when we have received maybe the general trend and what was the intention behind the program, what is the performance across the sectors, so that we can be able to look at what we are supposed to monitor from our side. So without any, I know it's an extensive work that we'll be doing today. Without any further delays, let me give it to you, DM. Maybe you can introduce your team, and then I will take it when your presentation is done and finished. Thank you very much to you, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to all the honorable members. Very good morning to the guests who may be present in the meeting. Honorable Chairperson, thanks very much for inviting the DTIC. I'm happy that you're saying we are here not so much to account, but to share with you what the DTIC has been doing with regard to this program, which we consider to be very important in our work as the department. When our minister is not present, I had assumed earlier that there was an indication that he was not going to be present in this meeting this morning. So you didn't fault any protocol, Chairperson. I know that you have not had a deputy minister for a very long time. I've suggested to Deputy Minister Mantash that I don't really mind to moonlight as his deputy. But he has turned me down, so I'm happy to. Chairperson, our acting DG, Malebuma Bridget Thompson, together with the rest of the team from the DTIC this morning. So when she does the presentation, we'll introduce the team members who are present. In line with your directive, I'm just going to do the introduction to the presentation, and with your permission, will allow her to present. So just a few remarks before she does the presentation. First of all, Chair, we all know that the question of a greater inclusivity in our economy is one that has been around for a very long time in South Africa's discourse. So the question of how best to integrate Black South Africans into the productive economy has been one that has been looming large for a long time. And the Black Industrialist Program is one response. And it is important to indicate, Chair, that it is just one response to this questionnaire by government. The program aims to leverage the state's capacity to unlock the industrial potential that exists within the Black-owned and managed businesses through deliberate, targeted, and well-defined financial and non-financial interventions. The intention is to contribute towards shifting the demographic composition of South Africa's industrial sector and engage the underutilized source of jobs, revenue, taxes, and innovation, which are Black industrialists. The program's objectives, amongst others, are to accelerate participation of Black industrialists in the national economy, in selected industrial sectors and value chains, as reflected by a contribution to growth, investment, exports, and employment. And secondly, to create multiple and diverse pathways and instruments for Black industrialists to enter strategic and targeted industrial sectors and value chains. A Black industrialist is a juristic person incorporated in terms of the Companies Act of 2008, that is owned by Black South African as defined by our broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Act. And the following are some of the characteristics, Chairperson, of the Black industrialist. It is one that provides strategic and operational leadership to the business. Has a high level of ownership that is plus 50% and or exercises control over the business. Identifies opportunities and develops business to take advantage of these opportunities. In other words, that is to be entrepreneurial. Takes personal risk in the business, does business in the manufacturing sector, and makes a long-term commitment to the business and is a medium to long-term investor. The DTIC program supports entities operating in the following manufacturing subsectors of our economy. Just to indicate a few, the blue or ocean economy, including vessel building and care, oil and gas, clean technology and energy, mineral beneficiation, aerospace, rail and automotive components, industrial infrastructure, information communication technologies, agro-processing, clothing, textiles, leather and footwear, pulp, paper and furniture, chemicals, pharmaceutical and plastics, nuclear, manufacturing-related logistics, designated sectors for localization. The challenge of access to finance has been articulated as one of the main constraints confronting Black entrepreneurs in general for the attainment of shared and inclusive growth. And Chairperson, you would know that this is, has been a key constraint that we have been discussing across government that is hampering our work towards inclusivity in the economy. The Black Industrialist Scheme offers granting, Chairperson, and this is often in tandem with loan funding from the Industrial Development Corporation, the IDC, the National Empowerment Fund, NEF, and other development finance institutions, commercial banks, and equity funders. And it provides black industrialists with resources to secure the premises, equipment, and materials they need to develop and grow their businesses. Chairperson, the DTIC has advised other departments that they should themselves develop their own black industrialist programs within their mandates. So we understand that this is a matter that you are interrogating today as it relates to the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. Our acting DG will now present you our presentation, as you call it, the general conceptualization of the Black Industrialist Program, the work we have done, progress to date, and some of the constraints that we have confronted. And I just want to say, Chairperson, one of the things that has happened is in addition to the challenges that we have faced up to 2020, as you would imagine, COVID-19 has had a very severe negative impact on this program of our black industrialists. And the DTIC economic reconstruction and recovery plan, we're trying to place once again the black industrialist program at the center of building a new and inclusive economy. So we're trying to raise, do everything we can to raise the profile of the black industrialist program. We do know many of our black industrialists have suffered during COVID. They are among many of the companies that are currently in distress. So we will work together across the economy and with yourselves in our own sector as we try and ensure that we can give them support. So with that, Chairperson, I am happy to hand over to SDG, Thompson, to do our presentation with your permission, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Chairperson, I think our SDG is still muted, but I think she will not start until you say she must go ahead. We are people of protocol in the DTIC. Thank you, Chair.
Protocol says if I've given the principal, then the principal will come back at the end and then say he's bringing back the ropes to me. So it's to you until you finish. When the acting DG finishes, you will then make your last point and then you bring it back to me for questions of clarity and other things. So the ball is in your court now.
Thank you.
Acting DG.
Thank you, Minister DM. Maybe just to check through the chair whether I'm audible.
Whether you are audible.
Yes, if members can hear me, Chairperson.
I can hear you, though it seems like you are too far from the mic. I don't know whether it's only me who feels that, but I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm going to switch off my camera and see if the audio improves. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Good morning to the DM, to the Chairperson and to the honorable members. And we are grateful for the opportunity to come share with you our experience on the Black Industrialist Program. What the DM has done is just step through the important pillars of the Black
And he has also laid out the partnerships that we have sought to strengthen through implementation of this program. What I will be doing now is just taking members through our progress today, and then sharing with the members a bit on the some of our success stories. Because the focus is in minerals, the mineral processing, we've also invited our DSIs, the IDC and NEF, to also share the work that they have done in the mineral beneficiation sector. So I think the NEF will do a presentation, and the IDC may possibly just speak to some of the transactions that they have supported through the Black Industrial Program. So with that, short second, I'll then move to the next slide. Chair, I think members would be aware, but as a reminder, that the DTIC has a mandate to support economic growth, job creation, and transformation, and that the department uses industrial development, trade policy, and competitiveness measures to broaden empowerment and inclusion. I think that said simply means that transformation is at the core of all the work programs of the department, be it industrial development, be it trade policy, be it competitiveness improvement for all the key economic players. In all of those things, we see transformation as the most important part of the work that the DTIC does. And as the DM has been mentioned, the Black Industrialist Program is one of the various interventions that the DTIC uses to ensure that real transformation takes place in the economy. We do this, Chairperson, because we understand that economies that are more equal tend to grow faster than those that are unequal. Therefore, we see inequality in our economy as a stumbling block to higher levels of growth. That is the reason why it is important that in the work that we do, we must always prioritize and transform. Thank you. As I've indicated, that transformation is at the center of the work that the DTIC is doing. In relation to industrial funding, which the DTI does, managing incentives, we prioritize transformation. The Competition Commission and its work program, transformation is an important part of that. The BEE code and the charter are just an instrument also in pursuing transformation. Equity equivalent investment program, the master plans that the DTIC is responsible for, in the work that we do on special economic zones, the work that we do to support small and medium enterprises, and also the work that we do on state preferential procurement. All these are some of the instruments that we use to promote transformation in the economy. And we are going beyond just that narrow intervention of just maybe looking at shareholding. We are looking to make sure that there is actual participation in the economy in terms of managerial control, managerial input, managerial direction in the manner in which capital prices are raised in the economy, coming from the previously marginalized and indigenous black industrialist policy as one of the reasons for the corruption. Next slide. The presentation highlights some of the work that the department has done in developing and supporting black industrialists over the last 5 years. Approximately $4 billion has been invested through funding initiatives within the DTIC, and this has funded approximately 135 black industrialist businesses. The funding support has gone to create new and dynamic enterprises in a number of critical value chains across all the 9 provinces. The aim here is providing that financial support was to crowd in additional investment from the private sector, as well as creating and saving jobs. And over the next 5 years, we do plan to continue with the investment drive that supports black industrialists. And we want that to be focused on reduction of imports in order to improve our economic output, so that we are able to, like many economies, consume a lot more of what we produce. That will be reversing the current trend, where we buy more from other global markets and we do not produce as much. So we will send the market minerals that are under value added, that are just small minerals. And then we bring into the country value added products. And in that way, what we are doing is we are exporting potential opportunities of value addition to those markets from which we buy, and with that also potential of creation that comes with value addition. That is why the black industrialist and its focus on value addition in line with the DTIC is so critical. Okay. The presentation will provide details of some of the black industrialists that we have supported, and it has case studies that range that covers a range of sectors from food production, clothing sector, electrical equipment, furniture, wood products, chemicals and plastics, metals and materials, automotive, construction and building. So as the DM has indicated, the program is managed between ourselves in the DTIC as the department, the IDC and the National Empowerment Fund. So 135 black industrialists have been supported, and that number is rising. $4 billion, as I have indicated, projected investment of $13.5 billion. Now, projected investment, this is the investment that the black industrialists are undertaking. The value of that investment is much more than the level of support that they would have been provided. I think it's something, particularly as far as the DTIC incentives are concerned, it ranges from a 1:3 ratio, which means for 1 rent that government puts in, and the BIs will put in a 3 rent worth of investment. And sometimes it can go as far as for every rent that we put in, the black industrialist then put in another 4 rent. So it just shows that this is not a scheme that So if you have told us that you're going to create 200 jobs and you're going to bring this much capacity, productive capacity into your company, the disbursements are going to check that. So we only pay one certain of those milestones and it has been achieved. A breakdown by province, or in most provinces, you would see that there has been a number of black industrialists that have been approved. And this number tracks where industrial activity would take place. Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, being the big areas where there is a lot of industrial activity, you see that in the numbers of the applications that have been approved and the projects that have eventually been supported. What we are doing here is working with the underrepresented provinces to see how we can increase this number so that we continue to support black industrialists where they are and where the opportunities are. Next slide. In terms of the sectors, some of the sectors will mirror well the sectors that the DMC created. The largest portion of our investment is the agro-processing, followed by chemicals and plastics, industrial infrastructure, mineral beneficiation, oil and gas, clothing and textiles, automotive sectors, steel and metal beneficiation, renewables, the health, economy, ICT, and software production. Now, as much as the numbers here show that there is a leading towards agro-processing, I think we need to appreciate the fact that what that is telling us is that we are starting to at least eat and use things that are produced here at home and which are produced by black industrialists. And I think that is a very big step, given that for the most part, some of these industrialists are greenfield, which means they are new investors in the economy. So outside of this type of support, they would not have grown as quickly as they have grown. Hence, we talk about the importance of this program, injecting new entrepreneurial dynamism across a diverse range of sectors and seeing those sectors grow with black industrialists as part of that. Yes. So in terms of case studies, I think here, just in the interest of time, I will just look at one or two of the case studies and give members a lot more information about the program as per the request that, that the chair needs to be. So the next slide. So here is one of our black industrialists. This is an old company, Africa Sun Oil, and which is now black owned, and they do soya bean oil, sunflower oil, maize oil, and this one company is located in KZN. Just through the support that was provided, we were able to support creation of 154 jobs and retention of 204 jobs. And these are not by accident that it is this way. It is a requirement of the scheme that there must be, for example, a localization. You must procure domestically, and you must create jobs. So the scheme itself is not just about supporting black entrepreneurs just on the basis that they are black. But as DM said, new source of jobs, a new source of economic growth, a new source of revenue for the state, a source of innovation as the economy moves forward. Therefore, some of these requirements are locked in the contract that we would sign with some of the black industries. I think, Jeremy, maybe we can just move to the next sector. So here it's in the automotive sector, and here the support is for production of brake tests being done right here in South Africa. So what this company in part will help us to do is reduce our reliance on imports and increase the local production. I think just based on imported material, but of course having values here at home, and that is what is important with this one. And that's right here. Dalisu, this one, this is a joint venture between Dalisu, a specialty product, which is 100% black owned company, and they are working with Impact to provide a dust suppression service to the mining industry. So this is, another area of innovation that we see black industrialists now coming into the space and occupying. It's also a transaction co-funded with the IBC. It is in Mpumalanga, and this was a new enterprise. That is why you see the wages, jobs, because there wouldn't be any jobs. So this is an absolute new enterprise, I think, bringing in a very innovative solution to suppress dust within the mining industry. Okay, Kibali. This one is Kibali Chemicals. They do chemicals and adhesives, glues, different types of glues, and they are actually in Maluku, Afrikaans. It was a niche company that started in 2014, and now we have supported them to also expand some of their markets so that they can be able to export some of the products to a number of destinations. Then, you can just sit down. I can just make this problem. Alp is also a black-owned enterprise. They are in the steel sector. They manufacture aluminium and copper. And this company started in 2009. Although they actually started their production around 2019, and they are now in metal fabrication, and they have received a
Assisting them to get through the crisis.
different from what you would have been doing previously, which was just assisting them for expansion. So the senior students, I think that we take from here, from the work that we've done, is that if we are to provide financing, it has to be targeted and it has to be efficient. We also are recognizing, as we've done even at the time when we introduced this program, that the other levers of state become very important. The biggest thing that happens with COVID that is sinking enterprises is the loss of money. And it's important that government, as a major procurer in the economy, then uses that lever to also support black industrialists. As the DM has said, black industrialists are slightly different from other black-owned enterprises, in that here we are looking for owner participation. And this is not just about ownership as far as the books are concerned, but this is owner participation. They are there operationally. They are leading the enterprise. They are providing the vision for the enterprise. And those are the people that we call black industrialists. And they're not skipping from project to project. They are invested in the project and that they are working on. SDM has put it that they are medium to long-term investors in the project that we support. Now, in order to ensure optimal quality in terms of how the applications are looked at, we've got a team of technocrats coming from government and also professionals with various skills, also coming from our DFI, looking at each investment, looking at the merits of that investment, and making a decision about how funding should then proceed. The DM has indicated that we have supported other departments. We supported the Department of Agriculture as an example, and there's been a number of other departments that have come to us to see how they can implement a black industrialist program using not only their mandate but also the tools that they have in hand. And those tools may range from legislation, it may be funding, it may be ability to direct access to contracts, those kind of tools, using those tools to support development of black industry. Now, the NEF has been working in the space of supporting black enterprises in general, and they have experience in working with enterprises in the mining space, which they will now share with the committee. Again, just providing the committee the broadest sense of how the DTI is providing support for black industrialists in general, and now with the presentation of the black businesses that are operating in the mineral resources, mineral So, DM, I think with your permission, I'll request that you give an opportunity to NEF to take us through a very short presentation, about 5 slides of the work that has been distributed. Thank you, DM.
Thanks, Acting DG. Who's doing the presentation from NEF?
Good day, Deputy Minister. My name is Mzi Daimani from the NEF.
Mzi, it's you. Okay. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I will ask my colleague Andile to put up the presentation. Good morning to DG, ministers, the honorable members of the committee, Also our principals from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. So, as I said, my name is Mzi Daimani. I'm the General Counsel at the NEF. I am together with my colleague, Ms. Lengwe Makatini, who's one of the divisional executives, Ms. Zamakanyile and Andile Stimela. I will take maybe about 5 minutes just to take the committee through some of the transactions that the NEF has worked on in the mineral space. But just to advise the honorable members, the NEF has over the years approved over 1,000 transactions to the value of over 10 billion rand across the country. And of that, about 7 billion rand has been dispersed. The NEF focuses on funding of broad-based Black economic empowerment transactions. So our mandate is purely BBBEE. So we are a creature of statute to assist the government in the implementation of the BBBEE program. We report to the DTIC, and we work very closely with Ms. Malebo's department. Now she's the acting DG. And so the department that is led by the acting DDG Osman. So, Chairperson, through you, if we go to the next slide, Andile, the NEF has to date invested over 800 million rand in mining and energy sector related transactions, and that's for about 121 transactions. And we have assisted in creation of over 4,000 jobs. So job creation is key for us in addition to BBBEE. We believe that this is a very critical sector in job creation, especially in the areas where these mines are located. And in some instances, these are rural towns, and these are areas where there is a critical need of creating jobs. So we use the opportunity that is presented by the mining related businesses that we get involved in order to create jobs for the broader community and to ensure that the community benefits from the mineral resources that are located in the land that they own. We believe that it's key, and it's part of government's policies. And sometimes if there is no support for those communities, they miss those opportunities. One of the examples that I will talk about, just to give the committee more information about the transactions that the NEF has worked on in this space on the next slide, is a transaction called Lisia Trust. So this is a transaction that is located in a place called Gomha in East London, where we've invested about 14.3 million rand. And in order to assist the Black entrepreneurs to establish a granite and dimension stone quarry in that place. So that area has been discovered that it's got a very high quality of granite stones, and they are actually exporting some of the products that they are mining from that place. So far that project has created 83 jobs, and there is a strong women ownership element there. We have facilitated ownership of a women trust that owns 20% of the project. We are busy working with the project to ensure that we can strengthen it and grow it, because the mining reserves that are in that area, they can actually support more jobs. We could end up creating over 200 jobs in that area. That's one of the areas where there is a very high rate of unemployment. So we will use this project as a strategic asset in order to support that job creation objective. The next one is a project called Colliery Dust Control. So here we are not involved in mining as such, but this is a project that supports mining related services. It actually manufactures things called dust subtraction systems. These are things that are actually installed in what is known as continuous miners in underground mining. So they've got an IP in order to manufacture this instrument. It's located in Springs. They supply to mines both in South Africa and in the SADC area. We invested about 30.9 million rand. I'm happy to advise the committee that all the investment that we made in this project has been fully repaid by the project. The project employs 20 people. It's got management trust of 20% and is owned by black people and led by a black woman. So this project is currently providing the economic benefits to the people that we have supported there. The next one is called DM powder, denser mensa powder. The NEF, once again, we invested about 30 million rand in that project, and that project has also, once again, fully repaid. So this is an industry that has got a lot of potential in terms of repayability of the funding instruments that we put in these kinds of projects. So the two projects that I've talked about, CDC, dust colliery dust control, and this denser mensa powder projects, are examples of projects that have managed to generate sufficient revenues in order to fully repay the investment that was made by the NEF to ensure that the black partners that we supported in those projects can actually enjoy the economic benefit. Because in the past, we've seen some of the transactions that were supported, that they were not able to actually fully recover from the debt obligations that were made by various funders in those projects. So it is very encouraging to see that in the mining space, there is a huge opportunity to invest in projects that actually fully repay and to ensure that we achieve meaningful black economic empowerment. The project also employs over 200 full-time personnel in the plant, and it's located in Meyerton in Gauteng. The next one is called Active Blue. It is a stone quarry mine. It's located in the Telezini area in Mutu, in KZN. So this land is actually owned by the traditional community under Inkosi Molefe. And the NEF has invested in that project 15 million rand. In this project, Chairperson, through you, we invest with the partnership of the DTI. So the DTI uses the incentives that it has. Like you will see in this particular one, there is a 35.6 million rand incentive under the Employment Creation Fund program of the DTI. These incentives are key in order to have success in this project, because the NEF supports projects in the form of concessionary loans. But where we've got incentives, grants, and other instruments that support the projects, we ensure that these projects are affordable and that in the short term, they're able to actually afford the people that we've supported the economic benefit from those various projects. Then the next one project I want to talk about is a project called Sehwai Exploration and Drilling. So this project is, we've got black entrepreneurs here who are involved in the exploration and drilling. So what they do, they've got equipment that they utilize with the contracts that they have from various mining houses to assist them with their exploration work. So they focus more in the coal mining and the platinum sector, and they are located in the Mpumalanga region. They're based in Gauteng, but they've got contracts in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. We've invested about 10.4 million rand to assist that project to acquire the drilling equipment. It hires 64 people and is 100% owned by black people. The next one is a project that is called Stender Trading. It's located in Emalahleni in Mpumalanga. So it's got contract awarded by Matla Mine, which is owned by Exxaro. It provides cleaning and civil works for that particular contract. So we are saying, Chairperson, that we support both in the core mining businesses, in the businesses that support the mining-related activities of the big mining entities, and also in their services within those particular mines. So there are various opportunities for black industrialists and black suppliers in order to benefit from the various activities that are within a mine. So a mine in a particular area provides opportunities both for the company that's doing the mining and also for the communities themselves. So we invested about 9 million rand in that business to acquire assets and for working capital purposes. The next one is called Mutla Mining. It actually operates from Witbank and Rustenburg. It offers mining services such as material handling, crushing, screening, and mining rehabilitation. So in 2018, we initially invested 12 million rand in this business, but the business has grown exponentially over the last 3 years. And we've unlocked many doors for this particular business, such that we had to finance it again because of the amount of business that it managed to generate. The second round of funding, we co-invested in this particular project with another government-owned entity, which is SEPA. The project employs about 94 people. Next one is Motlalefi Engineering. This particular project focuses on designing the manufacture and supply of unique underground mining roof support structures and related projects. So what this project does is actually to manufacture equipment that supports the roof structures of the mine so that there is safety within the underground mines. So some of the roof structures that are in some of our underground mines at the moment are manufactured by an NEF-supported business. We started the project as a pilot plant, but the business has actually grown and is having huge demand for the equipment that it is manufacturing. And it's grown that at the moment it's got turnover of over 27 million rand. We are in the process of considering this project for further funding because there are more opportunities for it, because there are huge opportunities within the underground mining space in South Africa. And we believe here that we are going to be able to create a substantial black industrialist that we are working with patiently and will grow over the years, and we will see it being one of the major players in the near future. And lastly, Chairperson, the part that I wanted to speak through your DM is our investment in the fuel sector. So another space within the petroleum industry that we've identified is the area of owning of service stations or garages, as we call them. So we've invested over 600 million rand in that particular space, where we've supported over 111 to be exact, service stations across the country. And 48 of those are owned by black women. And we've created over 3,400 jobs there. Of those projects that we've invested in, 36 of them have successfully exited. In other words, they've fully repaid their NEF loan. We've got success rates of over 95% in the businesses that we are funding in this space. And we can see that it is actually a huge opportunity in order to create jobs and to ensure that black people have got access to businesses and they become owners and managers of the various enterprises that are supporting some of the economic activities within the country. And then that last slide is just a graphic depiction of what I've just talked to. So that first block shows of the investments that we've made in that space. About 56 of them are in the suburbs or CBDs, 36 are in the townships, and 16 are in the rural areas. As I said, 48 of the investments are owned by black women-owned businesses, and 60 of them are owned by black-owned businesses. At the bottom there, we put in the number for each of the petroleum companies that we have funded or which have franchised those service stations. The active portfolio risk rating, it shows you that 66% of those businesses are the businesses that we know that they will definitely be fully repaying the NEF. The 17% is what we call high risk, and then the 17% is also what is known as low and medium. So you can see here that a large proportion of the investments that we make in this space are investments that will fully repay. Those that we believe that are having challenges with performance, we've got mentorship program as the NEF. We provide mentorship free of charge to the businesses that we support. Once again, we are able to do that work possible because of some of the incentives that we receive from the DTI. We are able to hire the retired business people who've been involved in this space to go and provide mentorship and support to the businesses that we have supported. We also provide what is known as back office to the businesses that we support. Back office is things like accounting service and secretariat service to ensure that the governance and the financials of those businesses are actually provided timely and they are accurate, which is key to the success of the businesses. And once again, that is a service that as the NEF we provide free of charge to the businesses that we invest in. So what we're saying is that as a DFI in the country supporting black businesses, we need to ensure that we've got a suite of services, not only providing funding, but also providing handholding when necessary, as well as mentorship and support in order to ensure that those businesses are not left alone. We are able to support them until we fully recoup the investments that we make in them. It's key for us to create jobs. We are currently working with the DTIC. They are continuously assisting us with incentives and other support in order to support businesses in this space. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Zee.
Yes, through you, if you could just ask the IGC for a very, very short reflection on their implementation of the Black Industrial Program. And that reflection will be done by David Gabbard.
Okay, David, let's go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister and colleagues from the Department. As you're aware, IDC mandate and the Acting DG did mention it, IDC mandate is broader than just manufacturing sector. So we do cover the broader productive sectors of the economy, which includes mining and minerals and also infrastructure investments. And our key mandate is industrial development, with chief outcomes being job creation and saving jobs, preventing deindustrialization, especially in this current environment, and then also inclusion, including the Black Industrialist Program, which we have been partnering with DTIC over the last couple of years on. Chairperson, I understood your brief that we're really focusing on the kind of the policy issues and implementation issues, so I'll just briefly reflect on that. I think Malebo has covered those very well, but maybe just a bit of a perspective from our side. IDC has over the last 5 years supported black entrepreneurs to the tune of over 70 billion rand, and 29 billion rand of that was approved for the support of black industrialists. So as you'll see, it's a major initiative of the Industrial Development Corporation. Briefly, maybe mentioning in terms of the sector involvement in the energy space, what we've invested over 14 billion rand in the REAP program, and our value proposition there is to focus now on DEE funding to ensure that there's localization, which we believe is an important opportunity for synergy between the renewable energy program and manufacturing opportunities. There you would have seen a recent announcement around Redstone, which has reached financial closure, where we've supported localization, Black economic empowerment, as well as the community involvement in that project. So we believe that's a sweet spot for development finance institutions like ourselves. In terms of mining, we've supported mining services, as well as mining from mining operations from coal through to gold. So some of the reflections, Chairperson, in line with your introduction, one is the importance of a partnership approach, a partnership with the business partners from a development finance and from the government. What is required is patient capital and supportive business partners. My colleague Mzi has mentioned, you know, the importance of business support, of assisting Black industrialists who will be new entrants, and obviously then often enter into these markets at a disadvantage to established players. Therefore, they need to be given the right kind of support to facilitate their success. So the focus is really on value creation and partnership with the Black industrialists. I think it's worth mentioning that the opportunities are across sectors. If we look at IDC's book, we have a number of clients in the mining sector. So Black industrialist opportunities are prevalent across the sector. So we know that we have entrepreneurs who have a lot of energy, exciting ideas, innovative. However, they might not have the balance sheet to facilitate their entry into the market. So that's the next issue I'd like to address, Chairperson, is really around the importance of having a blended finance approach. You know, our partnership with DTIC has really enabled us, when I talk about the $29 billion that we've been able to put into Black industrialists, a lot of that has been facilitated by the partnership with DTIC. So they come in with a grant which supports your entrepreneur. They might not have the balance sheet, so therefore they can put that in as their equity contribution to the transaction and to the project. So blended finance is key if we're going to have successful Black industrialists. Obviously, the impact of COVID on our economy and the current economic conditions have impacted on especially a lot of the startup projects, or if you're looking at expansions. It's not just the economic impact, it's the other impact and it's something to take into consideration if you think about the importation of vital machinery and equipment, which might be needed in these plants, sometimes skills. We have, you know, engineers or technical support coming from other countries. There's a challenge for them entering into South Africa. So these are other issues we need to take into account in this current environment in our support for Black industrialists and making sure that they're a success. The last point I want to mention, Chair, is something which has already been mentioned by both Mzi and by the DG, which is the importance of this being not just seen as a financing support. Finance is crucial, yes, but Malebo did also mention, you know, the market access as being a key issue, and I think there is definitely partnership opportunities if we look at the regulatory role to support localization and to facilitate the entrance of Black industrialists is key to having to making opportunities available to Black industrialists. So Chair, I hope those insights are useful to the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
MD, and Malebo, is there anything you want to say?
No, DM. I think we've covered everything that we needed to share with the committee. Of course, as we said before, we are always willing to share our experiences, to share where we think there are opportunities with any government department that is looking to strengthen the representation of our Black people in the various sectors within which they operate. So we are available to provide that support as and when required. Thank you, DM, for the opportunity.
Thanks very much, DG. Chair, that's the totality of our presentation from the DTRC and the two entities. We will surely continue to interact. You would know in an economy such as ours, so some of these companies that we are supporting would fail, as is in the nature of a market economy. So we would in future, just as we give case studies of our successes, also endeavor to give you case studies where we have not been successful, and just to provide experience of why we have not been successful in those cases, so that we can adapt those in future, because we try our best to ensure that all the entrepreneurs, industrialists that we support can succeed. The second thing is, we're excited when you called us. So this would help in the ongoing effort of integrating the work we do across departments. Because now we will be able to look, as we have been doing in the past, look more carefully at what our colleagues are doing with regard to this program in mineral resources and energy. So for us, for all of us to be effective, we're going to try to have to aggregate our efforts, so that we're not just, it's important to quantitatively measure what we're doing, but we also need to measure our qualitative performance, to see if we take a time period of 5 years, what impact have we made in the economy with regard to growing the economy, and secondly, with regard to changing ownership. So as we progress with this program, we'll give some more indications in future with regard to what progress we making with regard to the overall objective of transforming our economy. The third thing is what I raised earlier, Chair. With the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, so we have been having a discussion in the DTIC to see how best we can more strongly position this program, because you would remember President kept saying, we're not just rebuilding the old economy, we're not trying to be where we were before COVID, we're trying to build a new economy that's more inclusive. So that does imply that this program of ensuring participation by Black business people is going to be fundamental to where we're going. So we need to raise the profile of this program in the reconstruction and recovery plan. The fourth issue is, as you can see, we have been having some discussions to see how more impactful can we be working together with the NEF and IDC in particular, so that we can try and coordinate our efforts to make sure that we are more impactful. So lastly, just to thank you for the time, and so that's the complete presentation we have brought to the to the committee. So as the acting DG was saying, we'll be available to come back whenever you need us to give more information on this program or any to your committee. Thank you very much, Chair. It's over. It's back to you again. So we will be happy to take questions. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, DM and your team. We will do likewise. You must close your, so that we don't see what you do, DM. Just close, switch off your mic, your video. We know you work, we work very hard, yeah. Can I take a few questions, honorable members? I see there is a hand of Honorable Lorima. Seems there's only one hand. Is your hand working, Honorable Mashaule? I know sometimes you have a problem of your hand not working. It's okay.
I'm fine.
Okay. It's Honorable Lorima. You'll take the questions and then you'll answer when members have finished, DM and your team. So I'm sure you do have a pen and a paper, but also I know you are very well equipped in terms of the demands of the fourth industrial revolution, and therefore you may not even need a pen and a paper. You may need your finger and your gadget to take those questions. I see there's also Honorable Malinga and then Honorable Matowe. And I see there's Honorable Volmarans. Okay. I will come back when Honorable Volmarans is done. So it will be Honorable Lorima, Honorable Malinga, Honorable Matogwe, then Honorable Volmarans.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm going to start with the Black Industrialists. I'm not hearing a distinctive separation into new businesses versus existing. How many of these 135 were new businesses started from scratch with this money? Because if it's merely replacing ownership in existing companies, it doesn't seem to me to be helping growth. Second question, you've highlighted 38 companies. Can we please see similar profiles of all 135? Third question, please define when you say jobs have been saved versus jobs created. Those saved jobs, without this money, would those jobs have been lost? Fourth question is, how are the beneficiaries selected? Please explain the process and who are the individuals involved in selection. And what political involvement is there in candidate selection? My other questions concern the NEF. What are the requirements for a company to get funds from the NEF? Specifically, must it be solvent? Must it be tax compliant? What else do you look at? Then what kind of monitoring does the fund do on how the money is spent on an ongoing basis? And then how many NEF loans have gone bad? In other words, they've lent the money and the company's gone insolvent. And are there any such examples in mining? How many NEF loans are behind the repayments? And what's the success rate in mining? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the Deputy Minister, his team, our DG from the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy and his team, colleagues in the Portfolio Committee, our support staff from Parliament. Chair, let me also ask the same question that Honorable Lorima has asked, but in a different way. From the 135 Black industrialist businesses, how many
are... Yes, sir. Can you please put me through to the reception?
Okay.
I wanted to request for an extension up until 12, quarter past 12.
Chairman.
Yes.
Chairperson, can you switch off your mic, please?
Can I continue, Chair?
Continue, Mama Linda.
Are you the chair now, Miss Boss?
Continue, don't listen to news that they don't need you.
Ah, your mic is on, my chairperson. Chairperson, my chairperson, I forgive me for not opening my video. You know me when I'm in my bundles, my network is very bad. From the 135 black industrialist businesses that the first slide was alluding to, how many are still operational and how many have been impacted by COVID-19? Any plans maybe to resuscitate those who have been impacted by COVID-19? Also, Chair, on the slide, I think it's slide 9, on the projected jobs created, I saw it was something like 11,899, but retained is 8,000. So I am not sure, Chair, whether the projected jobs created also included maybe temporal jobs, or there were jobs that were lost. So if I can just get clarity on that one, Chair. Then there is slide 29, Chair, with the black industrialist presentation. The project that they are talking about, I think it's something in the petroleum space, if I'm correct. Has the project started? Or maybe the time frame to have the project up and running. I am no longer going to ask the requirements for funding in the NEF, Chair, because it has already been covered. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone in today's meeting. I'd just like to start by welcoming the presentation. I have a few questions. I think all of them are directed to the presentation on black industrialists. The first question, really, I think it's on the 135 active businesses that the presentation has told us about. And I'm more interested, as much as we are trying to get black people in particular to be active in the industry. But I'm interested in the usually excluded groups within the black community as well, and their representation, particularly out of that 135. Can you maybe get a breakdown of how many are female owned, how many are youth owned, and how many are owned by people living with disabilities? Because as much as we're going through towards transformation, we must not make sure that all these excluded subgroups are also considered. I think the second question that I have as well, still with the black industrialists, I remember we had a portfolio committee, if not at the beginning of this year, I think it was at the beginning of this year, where we had requested that even in terms of black people that are there, can we also just have a breakdown of how many of these businesses are Indian owned, colored owned, and African owned, so that we can just have an understanding and also be able to use that information and check it against the demographics of the country. The second question that I have, or the third question rather, is some of the projects that I am seeing here and the products that are being produced. I think I'm seeing them for the first time. And it is good and well that we're creating these black industries or these black owned industries, but if ordinary South Africans are not aware that we have such products that are being produced by South Africans, then it therefore means that we're not necessarily supporting our own, if I may put it that way. I recall when I was in primary school, for instance, there was the Proudly South African initiative, which was everywhere, and everywhere people were encouraged to buy our Proudly South African products, if I may put it that way. So I want to find out, are there any initiatives that are being done by DTI to actually promote these projects so that ordinary South Africans are aware of their existence, and also to sort of market for on behalf of these industrialists. Maybe this could even be a collaboration between DTI and, I'll say, the Department of Communications and other departments as well that are responsible for this. And then I'll go to slide number 9, which speaks about 11,000 plus jobs that are supposed to be created. And I am interested in how many jobs have been created thus far. And then the third question, I think it has to do with the profiles that are there. You have companies that have created one job, two jobs, five jobs. And I'm quite interested in whether it is feasible, you know, for us to actually support the companies if they are only like giving us very few job opportunities, because my assumption as well would be that one of the reasons why we are supporting these companies and we are promoting them is so that they could actually absorb more people so that they could get jobs. And what are the projections, I would say, that DTI has? Like, for instance, when you ask for support and funding, what are the targets that you are supposed to get? Because, I mean, for me, one job doesn't make sense at all. I think those are the questions that I have. And I think another question that I have, I think to the NEF, or I think to both our presentations as well, is that in most cases when we look into such initiatives, and especially the establishment of industries, we will always look into the CBDs, your suburbs, your metropoles, and not necessarily towards rural development. And that is why you actually find out that a lot of people are now leaving your rural communities to your cities because there aren't any job opportunities in your rural areas. There aren't any industries. There aren't any such initiatives as well. So I just wanted to find out, is there any are there any intentions to actually create industries specifically in rural communities? And if that is the case, what are the initiatives that are there? What are the targets for those initiatives, and what are the plans in place for such initiatives? Those are the questions that I have. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Chair, and good morning to all the members who are on the platform and the officials from the departments. Let me take this opportunity, Chair, to welcome the presentations and say that a number of concerns that I had already been mentioned by the previous speakers. Chair, on a positive note, I would say that the reason why we have these presentations, actually from the presentations that we earlier had early in the year with regards to your Black industrialists, and where we kept on asking questions to get more understanding on where we are, what is being done. And the presentations that we just had, the background and the presentations, answers a number of the questions. So on a positive note, I think the presentations have done some justice to the questions and the issues that we had at hand, which I welcome. One of the major issues was, from the 135, the categorization of the 135 Black industrialists, which needed to be broken down according to demographics. And I think that question has been asked before, and the programs and projects that are at hand. But what stands out for me, I can see a bit of synergy between the two departments and between the entities where there's a lot of collaboration. You can see across the board, when IDC speaks, you can see that they are taking into account the industries that come from our sector, the energy and mining, when the NEF speaks, it speaks in collaboration with the IDC. Now, it does not necessarily answer the question that out of our own minerals and energy space, what is our contribution and how do we fit in about creating this industrialist out of our own? Do we have information that comes from our side that ultimately ends either at NEF or IDC from the part of the department itself? Now, I think that most of these programs, it's the business people who out of their own end up at these institutions. And the other part that I wanted to check is in one of the slides, it says, it even gives you from 1997-98, which is a little bit far off from the 4 years that we have been dealing with the matter of black in or creating black industrialists. I think at that stage, the target was trying to get at least 100. And I think this 135 includes the ones that are historical. And I would want to find out in the past 4 or 5 years, how have we done? But what I would want to be the last question is, up to so far between the two departments, what are we targeting? What is the real target for this creation of the black industrialist vis-a-vis the 135 that we have? But I must say, Chairperson, I'm a bit at ease with the collaboration, which is the key word that I found between the departments and between these entities that are running. And I can see some ray of light at the end of that tunnel that we were in at the beginning because of lack of information and or lack of understanding on how it goes. And I would upload the presentation. It would be important from time to time, then, Chair, to get an update on where we are with programs and projects of this nature and how also we become mouthpieces of this environment within our different communities and constituencies. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, honorable members. Just few issues, DM and your team. First, I want to say I will honor up to what I said, but as a dedicated public representative, unfortunately, and your public servants, it's not up to me. I can't limit. I know I made you, I gave a guarantee that you are not coming to account. You are just coming to help us have a better understanding so that when we deal with these issues from the point of the department relevant to us, we can know what to look for and how to look for it. But I think there are key issues, some of what honorable members have raised. I will leave it because it will require a much more thoroughgoing discussion. I take note how you defined the sectors that are a target of this program. But my worry is that it seems to be too broad, the definition, when I listen to the presentations. For an example, I can't get the clarity. It's not whether we target the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, but I think for me, the risk is very high that any person that they could grant a license, let's say for mining, a mining license, they can come back here and say that person is part of the Black Industrialist Program. I'm not sure. That's why I was looking at the presentation. They gave a completely different perspective. Like, I can't see a difference between a normal business person who does business and whether an entrepreneur, the difference, an entrepreneur, yes, it's true, a black industrialist can be an entrepreneur, but I can't see the general knowledge of an entrepreneur and this one. So I that is my only challenge, that how do we make it a point, especially in the absence also of specific targets. But the last thing that I thought I must also say, because obviously in the process of accountability from the department concerned to us, we must know what we are looking for. So certain things might just go through the fingers without knowing exactly in terms of performance, what is it? So I'm a little bit, maybe you will be able to explain the point that also I think Honorable Volmarans is raising, to say if, for an example, it's in the mining space, how are they, so that we know when we monitor that they are performing a distinct targeted project, which now is defined as something that is new. Let me, for an example, make an example why we ended up having this discussion. The department had presented and said they, amongst those things, is in their program is a black industrialist program through what is this thing? Through procurement, something to that effect. Now, we're not sure how there is an explanation, and I can't say we all agree that yes, you can produce black industrialists through procurement by giving 1, 2, and 3 or asking for them to do this and that. If they do that on their own, then they can be able to produce that, generate from the point of origin being them, not having to ask to organize it somewhere for somebody to do it on their behalf. Those people are interpreted as black industrialists. We still are going to have a discussion even there, that is it really something like that. So I'm not questioning, because as I said, I'm not questioning what the department is doing, but what made matters more complex for me, especially your DFI, when they talk about giving so and so to do this, I can't get what is original or what is it that is industrial. So I think maybe with the answers you will give, you may be able to assist. But let me give it to you, DM. I don't know how. I think he's been kicked out even now by the I saw it just says left.
The background
network is terrible. Was terrible. But I'm sure you can continue in the meantime. When he comes in, you will just continue. Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chair President, and thank you to the committee members for the question. Of course, we came with a different mission in mind, and the presentations were prepared in accordance with that mission. The mission was about explaining how the Black Industrialist program work, who do we define as Black Industrialist, and what our program has been. So, I think to the questions that members are raising, it's clear that there may be more information that members would have been looking for, except what we can see in our presentation. Of course, to our portfolio committee, most of these questions that have been raised would be part of our standard reporting back to the portfolio committee. So the information is available, and it's part of how we would report back to the portfolio committee. I'll then just go straight into some of the questions the colleagues that are on the call, both from the GCIC, the NEF, and the IEC, would also come in as I continue and as they need to also help me. So the first question from Honorable Lorima was about the existing and new, what the difference is. Yeah, when we talk about an entity that was existing before, we will not support that entity just for the sake of changing equity. So that will not be the nature of the support that we would provide. The support we would provide, even if it's an existing enterprise, would be for a new project. So the entity may very well be owned, but they will be undertaking a new project. Very few cases would have required equity injection, and in those cases, it would have been both the IDC or the NEF, depending on the business case, depending on the strategic nature of that sector, that such a transaction would be accepted. So the Black Industrialist is not really about shifting ownership from a white entrepreneur to a black entrepreneur. It is about increasing the number of entrepreneurs in the economy, particularly in the daily sectors of the economy. So there would be those enterprises which would have been relatively new, which would be new projects, greenfield investments that we would have also supported. So the Honourable Member asked, can we share with the committee the rest of the 145? The way we are doing it is on the DGIC website, there is the first publication which looks at the first 40. And towards year end and into the new year, we will then look at the next 40 and then continue doing in trenches of 40 as we go along. But in fact, what we are wanting to do is we are tracking all this enterprise and development across the different cycles in the economy. And even when their investments are also mature, there's no point, for example, in just showing that we have approved this application. The most important thing is to see brick and mortar on the ground to start seeing the enterprise shape up. But part of the reason that we have included some of these enterprises, especially those whose machinery was delayed into the the presentation, was actually to just communicate the fact that we are not here to just see places to success. We are also highlighting the fact that we are working in the real economy. There are challenges, and we are working with entrepreneurs to see how we overcome some of these challenges. The difference between job saved and created, in instances, if you are unable to expand, that will lead to your demand. And because the program supports expansion, and that is the reason that those jobs that we found there, we would consider them retained, we would consider them safe, depending on the case that was brought to us by the particular enterprise. Then there was a question about how are the beneficiaries selected. We publish guidelines, and it's been the practice of the DTI for the longest of time, that we will publish guidelines. The same support we offer the automotive sector and the different sectors of the economy, those rules also apply to the black industry. We publish guidelines, and based on the published guidelines, the entrepreneurs then apply to the department. And when the proposition they put to us meets with the expectation from the program, then we then contract with them. So even in this case, it's the same thing. The guidelines are published. We do roadshows in order to communicate to people what the Black Industrialist program is about. We use our DFI. We are also partnering with the banks to popularize the scheme, given that there's no modern enterprise that has been prospects of growing that will not have a dealing with the bank. So our job is to make sure that as far as possible the message goes out today about the existence of the scheme. The rules are clear. There's an independent adjudication committee that is made up of professionals who are well qualified to do the work, who then do the assessment of the project, and if the project is successful, then we go ahead and support that program. I can say without any fear of saying that there's no political involvement in the work that we do. Similar to how we supported all other sectors and we continue to support them. There's no political involvement in the 12i program that we support. We support most of the companies that would be at the stock exchange, and even in this case, there's no political involvement. The same rules apply. It is just how we define the beneficiaries, and that may differ from program to program. And in this program, we have said a Black industrialist must be an enterprise that is 51% or more owned by a black person. That person must be operationally involved. They must take risk, financial risk, related to the growth of that enterprise. And they must be a long-term investor in that enterprise. So they can't just be hopping from project to project. We need to see them see through that particular project from beginning to end. Then on the issues of plans to resuscitate those enterprises that may be going through a difficult time, we don't have a generalized plan on resuscitation, but we are dealing with these enterprises.
Acting DJ, it seems there's load shedding on your side. You will interchange them. I think you are back.
So I'm very sorry, Stephen, we having a difficult day. The place I'm working from has a terrible network. I suggest that David Z, direct matters that relate to their own entities as we await the first indigenous to come back. David Z, or David first?
Thanks, Deputy Minister, and thank you, Chair. Just some of the issues which were raised in agreement with the DG. The bulk of our funding has gone to new businesses. So 3/4 of our funding goes to either startups or expansions. So expansionary activities. We do, as IDC, do support transfer of ownership, but it is a very small percentage of our approvals. In terms of the selection process, anyone is free to apply for funding from IDC. We do have governance structures in place with credit committees. If it's a large finance, large amount of finance, a big ticket, then it goes up to our board. We even have external members, besides board members, on our credit committees to facilitate the approval process. And we approve transactions on the basis of the risks and they need to have economic merit, and then obviously the development impact. So we take those factors into consideration. We do publish the approvals on our website. So all of the our minister committed us to publish approvals of transactions on our website, which we do, including highlighting where there might be PEPs. Obviously, the part of our due diligence process in that guarantees that there isn't political influence or undue influence over our due diligence teams, and that's something that we are very proud of upholding. So maybe just to talk also to our Deputy Minister did mention there are obviously failures, and I did highlight in my input that we've seen with the current economic climate as a result of COVID. We really have had to step in to support businesses. And there we see, with it links to the question of jobs saved, we need to prevent deindustrialization. So where there are opportunities, where there's a sustainable business opportunity that we believe still exists post this current economic environment, then we'll step in to support that company. And if it means that the company would have been liquidated, then we would count the jobs there as jobs saved. So to us, to preserve capacity, to preserve industrial capacity is easier than starting new capacity, provided the company can prove to us that it really is because of the current economic climate that they are performing poorly, and that they will turn around the business. So if the business can be turned around, definitely we need to preserve industrial capacity. On the issue, so we can provide breakdowns of female-owned, empowered, and youth-owned and empowered entrepreneurs, which we'll operate through the department to provide a consolidated response to those questions. Maybe just to say that in this space, in the remit of this portfolio committee, the opportunities for rural development are great. So if you look at the renewable energy program, the location of solar and wind is often in smaller towns and rural areas, similarly for mining operations. So the opportunities are really there to ensure that we have an impact in areas outside of your main economic hubs. The trick is then to ensure, and this is something which as IDC we're paying close attention to ensure that we have localization opportunities within the communities around projects. So we've recently launched something we call SME Connect, where we're trying to link our large projects through their supplier programs, their procurement operations, enterprise development to smaller and mainly black owned companies within those regions. So the trick is really to ensure that the economic impact of these opportunities is felt in that area. On the issue of targets are important. Our minister set us a target in 2015, 5-year targets for black industrious women and youth empowered companies. He set us targets of 23 billion for black industrious, 4.5 billion for women, and 4.5 billion for youth empowered companies. And we were able to achieve those in the 5 years that the minister set for us. So targets do play a role. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, DM. On the first one, DM, I'll ask my colleague Shengwe to come through on some of the questions. On the issue as who the NEF funds, the NEF funds any business. The requirement is that a business must be at least 51% black-owned. That business, in terms of tax compliance, because we are funded through the fiscus, so it is a requirement from the government that any entity that is funded through our funding should be tax compliant. In other words, the business should have ideally a tax compliance status with SARS. Where they do not, because what we have discovered is that, especially now as a result of COVID, some of the businesses are struggling to actually meet their obligations there. We actually ensure that they get into arrangements with SARS in terms of the obligations that they have in order for them to meet those obligations to ensure that they are eligible for our funding. So we do not simply exclude a business where we discover that they are not tax compliant. The key issue for us is that if a business is actually evading tax, we do not support that kind of business. But where we can support a business in order to be compliant, we will find ways of supporting such business. There is no requirement that businesses who are applying for our funding should provide security or should have balance sheets. So the NEF is actually a development financier, and our target market will recognize that they don't necessarily have assets that they can provide as security. So we look into the businesses that we support, and we ensure that people who do not have access to funding from traditional funding institutions are able to access our funding. One of the key requirements is that the person that we fund needs to be operationally involved in the business. We do not support people who want to start passive investment opportunities. We want people who want to be business people, entrepreneurs, who will be operationally involved in the business that we support. Job creation is one of the key requirements in terms of the funding, because in as much as we're supporting business, we also have a mandate of what we call empowerment dividend, which is supporting job creation, women, youth, and people living with disabilities, and also supporting businesses in rural areas. We also do not necessarily require that someone should have own contribution. Where a business is insolvent, we do not exclude business automatically because of their solvency status, especially under the current economic conditions. Working together with the DTIC, we have established what is known as a distressed business relief fund that supports businesses that are actually in financial distress as a result of COVID-19. The committee members will appreciate that such business will not necessarily be in a solvent situation. The requirement that is key there is that the business should demonstrate to our committees that it will be able to turn the corner and return to normal business operations within the next 24 months. So to the extent that management is able to come up with a turnaround plan that we believe could be implemented, that would result in saving the jobs and saving that business over 24 months period, we would support that kind of business. So COVID has presented opportunities for us to assist businesses in the economy that are actually struggling. There are many opportunities at the moment. I know that the situation is currently challenging, but through the support that we are providing through that distress relief fund and other initiatives, we provided during COVID what was called as moratorium relief, where we actually gave some of our clients payment holidays, and also we ceased accruing interest on the businesses during the hard lockdown period. So that has actually assisted us in ensuring that most of the businesses within our book actually survived. Now, when we talk about transactions that are located in rural areas, the NEF has got targeted initiatives. We've got what is known as the Rural and Community Development Fund. That fund targets projects that are located in rural areas. We've got projects in many rural areas in the around South Africa. We've got projects in the likes of places called Kumbu, Liboa, Homo, in Venda, in all the rural areas within the country. And it's a targeted approach. And we are continuously, we've got teams on the ground that are continuously speaking, especially to the traditional communities, to the people who are living in the township and the rural areas. One of our targeted initiatives is our Women Empowerment Fund. That fund that we've also launched in collaboration with the DTIC is targeting specifically projects that are in rural areas and projects that are in the townships. So we are very deliberate in terms of the support that we provide to those communities. And we've got what we know as Investor Education Program, where we go to the communities and do workshops in order to educate the people about the services and opportunities which are available within the NEF. I must comment the support that we're getting from the colleagues from the DTI within this initiative. We've got two colleagues, for instance, from DTIC, who sit in our credit committees and who give us inputs in order to ensure that the strategies of government are implemented within those committees. I think Ms. Susan Mangole and Justice Ngwenya, they are very active in our credit committees and in our strategies in order to reach those committees. DM, if you allow us, if I can just ask one of my colleagues to just take the other question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DM. Good morning, Chair and the honorable members and all the colleagues from the DTIC and IDC. My name is Kenyue Makatini. I've been asked to answer the difficult questions around bad loans and what you know is our experience in the mining sector. In terms of the transactions that we shared earlier on, most of them are transactions that are currently still active. So if you look at some of them, it's still that, you know, were funded more than 5 years ago, more than 6 years ago, but they are still active and creating jobs. So in terms of the deals, because, I mean, if you look at the nature of the work we've done at the NEF and because of the size of our balance sheet, our involvement in the mining sector has mostly been for people who provide services to the mining sector. It has not really, you know, been much of the actual mining services. So most of the businesses are still doing very well, you know, sustaining jobs and so forth. However, as a result of the pandemic, if I can just, you know, share with the honorable members, share through you some of the statistics and some of the experiences we had, you know, especially in 2020. In the portfolio of clients that we have as the NEF across all the sectors and not just in the mining sector alone, you know, only 25% of the transactions in our portfolio continued operations during the hard lockdown. It means that 16%, you know, could operate but very limited operations. It means 59% of businesses in our portfolio were not generating revenues at all during lockdown. And because of that, we have seen in this current financial year, our impairment numbers as the NEF are going up. Before the realities of the pandemic, the NEF was averaging an impairment ratio of 18%. So impairment is your expected losses from the loans you have given out. So if you've given people loans worth 100 rands. And if you analyze their performance and how they are paying you, you then come up with a number to say, I think out of the 100 rands I've given out, I will not get back 18 rands, and that should be an 18% impairment. So our numbers then, our impairments grew from around 18% to over 22%. We came up with a number of measures to try and assist our investors, as Mr. Daimane, has alluded earlier on. But the reality of the matter is that, businesses were not generating revenues, and they still had some level of fixed costs like rentals, insurance, and so forth that they had to take care of. And because of that, as development financiers, we need to be more patient with them and support them, going forward. In terms of what we wrote off in the previous financial year, for example, was about 134 million, which is about 6% of our loan portfolio. So businesses do face challenges. What we try to do at the NEF through our post-investment and our turnaround workouts and restructures units is to, support the entrepreneurs to make sure that we don't lose businesses that we've invested in, because if we lose those businesses, we also lose the jobs that go with them. Chair, I think I have sufficiently covered that question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kaya. Chairperson, with your permission, can we go back to the Acting DG? Acting DG, the colleagues from IDC and NEF have already covered the many of the questions raised. There were broad questions of strategy and the focus that the chair asked and they commented on. If you want to comment on that before we round up. Otherwise, I think the colleagues have answered the questions. And once again, Chair, we apologize profusely for the technical issues we have had.
No, thank you. Thank you, DM. Thank you, Chair. I think we are going through load shedding of one of some sort. So my apologies again once more. Chair, I won't necessarily then go into some of the detailed responses as per the guidance of the DM. I'll then maybe just focus on the chair's questions, those were more more conceptual about our understanding of the Black industrialist, who actually is the Black industrialist, and how do you differentiate between a Black enterprise and a Black industrialist. Maybe I think the best way to answer that question in the context of minerals and energy would be in a form of advice, that the way that we had done it is that upfront we defined what we are going to call a Black industrialist. And even in the documentation from the department, we are very clear that this is not just Black enterprises in general. It's a specific type of an enterprise, a specific type of an owner that we are looking for. We then defined within the broad mandate of the department, in which sectors are we going to find these people? And then after that, we said, what should be the character of the enterprises that we will then be dealing with? And we even went as far as defining even the quantum in terms of the size of the project that we would then be supporting as a Black industrialist project. So I think for the purposes of the department and even for the portfolio committee, it's important that these things are defined ahead, are understood ahead, so that we don't, it's not a case of bumping into success,
but it's planning for that success, which is what we had to do. In actual fact, the most time that we spent in designing in putting together the policy and designing the program was on defining who the beneficiaries are going to be, so that it is clear how do we separate who will receive support, the type of support that they will receive, and for those that will not receive support under the program, how are they accommodated in other programs? Because the Black Industrialist program is not the only program of the DTIC extended, including with the agencies of supporting transformation. It is one of the many instruments to support transformation and one of the many instruments to help grow the economy. So it works in tandem with the various other support instruments that are maybe not necessarily directed at Black ownership and operational involvement in an enterprise. So that is perhaps how I would state it. And in terms of the support, it may come in different forms. You may be able to unlock opportunities through regulation, maybe through finances, but I think at the core of it is that for an enterprise to thrive and be viable, you would need a market. And you would need a healthy cash flow of one kind or the other. So to the extent that through regulation, through legislation, any of those are unlocked, and it could be used as a way to develop Black industrialists, depending on how the department, based on its mandate, will then say for us, when we say Black industrialists, these are the type of enterprises that we have in mind. So I think with that, DM, I would hand over to you and taking that advice that some of my colleagues would have answered the other questions. Thank you, DM, and thank you to the chair and the members. Thank you.
Thanks, DJ. Chairperson, can we say that we have come to the end of what we needed to respond to? The Honorable Lonima asked this issue of criteria. I think both the NEF and the IDC responded sufficiently to it. One of the things that characterize the success of these institutions is that there wouldn't be undue interference when they carry out their mandate. So that's something that the DTIC would want to continue doing as we also strengthen their developmental mandate. But that when they have their mandate, they have got to carry out that mandate without have to interfere. So that will continue to do. With regard to the impact of COVID-19, Honorable Malinga, I think Z has dealt with this matter, a fund to look at the relief of companies in distress as a result of COVID-19. So this is something that we can bring back to the committee to show in numbers what exactly we have been able to do. But the impact of COVID-19 on companies generally, but on our program of Black industrialists has been something of a concern to us. So we paying attention to ensure that those companies that have been helped can survive the period of the pandemic. Honorable Madukwe, I'm quite certain that with regard to rural initiatives, NUF has been doing very well compared to the rest of our other entities. So the matters of we youth, women, and people with disability, I'm quite certain that we can bring back a breakdown with regard to those, so that our action can be more pointed with regard to support for especially people with disability. I think we do well with regard to supporting women-led enterprises. So, but we can give, can bring back a breakdown that shows in numbers what progress we've made. Honorable Volmarans, I think, thanks very much for appreciating the collaboration with, between the department and the entities. That's something that we want to strengthen. But beyond that, we need to strengthen collaboration on these areas of common interest across departments and across the different spheres of government, using in particular the district development model. Chairperson, I think I've heard the difficult conceptual questions you are posing at the end about what makes this program different to other support programs. So, and our choice of a sector, even in a particular sector, our choice of subsector. So, it is something that I think we've got to discuss together. So having listened to the questions, we are in a better position that next time we know how to craft a presentation to ourselves, we'll be quite happy to come back after we have engaged with Mineral Resources and Energy in future, and to present a more in-depth presentation that focuses in particular on the areas of interest that the members have raised today. So with your permission, we would like to end there. And once more, sorry about the technical hiccups we have had. I will not work from this workplace, a very unfriendly workplace, next time. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, DM, and your team for that, and the responses that you have given. Like I said, you will appreciate that as we continue with this work, we need also to ask relevant questions. I don't think we may need too much. Our interest will be, it might be nice. I think that's I know what people don't like in terms of the accountability measures. So it might be nice to, like I think it's Honorable Volmarans who had said, we might sit here, the department come and say no, in terms of what was the target, or in terms of the DTIC projections, we were expected to produce, just making an example, at least we have produced about 10 or so black industrialists. For now, we've produced so much. These are the areas and the fields, and I hope the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy now also understand the end, so that we can see what is our contribution as the sector in mineral resources and energy. What is our contribution to that broader program? Are we moving off the feet, or we're still sitting down? We need to get to those kinds of things. So that is why we're using you as the custodian of the program, so that we can know how to measure progress from where we are sitting, and whether there is something more that we need to do. First, to assist the department, but also to push them if they don't move. we at least I think we do have a glimpse in terms of what is it that should be an expectation. We're looking at we don't want to, that's why I was saying to them, I'm not contesting, because that's where the custodianship and the conceptual interpretation of this program rests. So we can't contest what you say. But we take it that from where I'm sitting, which is why we had this interaction, it should be something that is deliberate, it's monitored, and it has got a commitment of achievable goals. From where we sit as a sector, we should be able to point out and say, based on this particular product, we have been able to develop people who can do 1, 2, and 3. And therefore, it's more of making a direct contribution. It may not necessarily be linked from beneficiation. That is the point we're saying, that it should be something that borders between the two. It must be not de-linked from beneficiation on the commodities that we can produce. Sometimes even if it's something that it can be imported, but it should be. So as an example, we must be able to say, in terms of the manufacturing base, we have produced so much people who can manufacture 1, 2, and 3 out of the products that we are producing. So that is why we're saying that it may be too tricky when lines are blurred, that some of those things, they don't seem to be deliberate, but they seem to be coincidental. Somebody went to this, somebody went to this. But I'm sure we will be able to deal with the department from a better base of understanding. But lastly, as I say, let's really appreciate your time. It's just part of the work that we have to continue. We cannot stand on the way of technology. Unfortunately, it affects all of us. Tomorrow it might be me, it will be someone else, but I think we've done the work so far, so thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we can release the DM and the DTIC if they want to. They are allowed, if they still want to be part of us. Guide me, assist me. Honorable members, I'm looking at the time, and I think it was well spent, but are we going to be doing justice to the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy if now they present to us their own? We are left with only 30 minutes. If they are going to make a presentation, will they finish in 30 minutes' time? We can do that, and then we deal with questions later. Or should we reschedule their presentation, and then maybe they will come much better informed based on the deliberations that we made now, and also relate to the presentation of DTIC. Can I need guidance from you, honourable members.
Can I please best choose the chairperson as you get guidance? Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Can you continue, DG, up until 12? We will see.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning to yourself, and good morning to the honorable members of the PTC. All the colleagues from the department that are in the call, and also the support staff to Parliament and Ministry, and our media that is also part of this meeting. Can you project the presentation on the screen, Madam? The Chair, we are going to be very brief. I think DM Majola has highlighted, you know, that the role of DTIC is to integrate the work that is being done by different departments. And so, as you know, that with us is mining and petroleum. And now this also relates to energy, you know, economic activities that are also taking place. So I don't know what is happening. Sorry, Chair, I see that I've blocked myself. We're going to then be very brief on the basis of that, that ours is to support the
DG, don't worry. Don't worry. Continue. I will tell you if we are proceeding beyond. Don't worry. Continue with your presentation until you finish.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We have a team. I'm trying to check here. Ms. Mabusela, who supposed to take members through the presentation. She's responsible for employment transaction assessment. In her absence, the DDG will then take members through the presentation. Quickly, Chair, as you can see, the table of contents will take you through the introduction and also why BIP, which is a Black Industrialist Program, the approach from the side of the department, and also the pillars of success, areas of focus, and also overcoming hurdles. Then after that, we'll deal with a conclusion. Can you move to the next slide? Proceed. No. Yes. On the introduction, Chair and Honourable Members, before I hand over to DDG Maqubela, here we are just explaining that without repeating what DM of DTIC highlighted. Now, what do we mean by Black industrialist? Here we are making a reference to the fact that the program seeks to include Black people in the mainstream economy. These are Black people who are actively involved in the origination and also majority shareholding, management and operation of this industrialist enterprise or enterprises that would unlock the creation of massive employment. Now, there is also a study, a recent study by the three professors at Purdue Clarnet School of Management is part of a growing mountain of evidence of the superior and also more lasting performance of companies where the founder is still actually quite active, significantly so by taking a role of the CEO, chairman, board member, or owner, even an advisor. Now, if you look at this here, I think it makes a reference to the point that one of the colleagues, I think is a colleague from NEF, when he spoke about a passive ownership is not encouraged. And so that is basically what we are also looking at. And we've got good stories that we can share as well, Chair and Honourable Members, at an appropriate time. Can you move to the next slide? Now, here we are just highlighting, Chair, that while BIP, there we are talking of transformation, there we make a specific reference to job creation and also local participation. Now, we also look at inclusiveness as one of the areas that must be looked into. On issues of efficiency, we're also looking at competitiveness. And so looking at all these issues, Chair, it clearly demonstrates that people who are participating in the BIP, they need to be physically engaged or involved in those projects, and so that they can be, you know, a real meaningful participation and also contribution to the economy. I'm now going to invite DDG Maqubela to take us through the remaining slides. There are quite few. They shouldn't take too long. DDG Maqubela, I can't see Bongiwe. You may proceed, DDG.
I'm here, Tishi. Sorry, I've got some glitches on my side.
Okay, please.
Sorry for
please, madam.
Okay, thank you very much, Tishi, for the presentation, Chairperson, and the committee members. Good morning. From the DMR point of view, I must say that the reason perhaps we found like our strategy for black industrialists is leaning towards procurement, it's because we do understand that the black industrialists, as per what has been defined, are those people that are involved in the creation and manufacturing of the products. And also, we do understand that since the turn of the millennium, many economies that reintegrated into the world economy have noted that there is a lack of growth around the localization of products, so in terms of local content. So our primary concentration is not only on the resource part of issues like mining directly, it is around localization and industrialization. We want to see, we want to use this the mineral industry as a center to facilitate this localization through using procurement as a catalyst. One of the areas that we have identified is that black industrialists, they are there, but as the department, if we are not facilitating them, there are many barriers to entry in the mining industry. So the process that we follow is that we do take some steps to ensure that we look at the mining industry to rechannel their buying power towards this black industrialist program and ensure that the opportunities that are created are sustainable. And also, we do ensure that the process that we follow is a transparent and open process whereby we go to these communities, for instance, your Limpopo, we go to your Skukune areas, call all the companies that have started something, but it is very difficult for them to go through. I must say that listening to the presentation of NEF and IDC, we have on other, I thought they were going to mention a project by Babu Bamukhale where they are also in the manufacturing space. They are also looking at supplying PPEs. They've already funded those type of projects as NEF. And on the side of IDC, we are in talks with IDC to say we will look at the top 10 categories where we see that we can contribute towards the industrialization of the country by virtue of the buying power of the mining industry. Therefore, take those top 10 commodities and forward those to IDC to ensure that they find those progress, those commodities. Next slide, please. First, what we do, the first step is that as the DMR, as I've indicated, we go on a fact-finding mission. The fact-finding is driven, one, by entrepreneurs that come to the department to indicate that we are unable to even just go and knock at the door of the mines. The doors have been closed. So we seek your intervention. We are here. We're black industrialists. We have already started something. We have already sourced funding, but the challenge is to access to opportunities. So we drive those conversations and ensure that the mines do engage with these black industrialists and they are given a space to pitch. And we ensure that the end users that are there in the mines in terms of engineers, because most of the challenges that we have identified is that the black industrialists are not trusted, specifically on the issues of competitiveness. And we take them through this process of ensuring that they meet the end users, because we do believe that they are competitive. We do believe that they have started something and they are able to expand through, I mean, beyond our South African borders. A case in point is a company by the name of I didn't mention the name of the companies, but the company is in the space of conveyor belt, Dunlop Belting Services. They've been supported by ITC, I know for a fact. We are taking them through because we believe that through our interventions, we can make sure that they are scalable businesses. And after that, the mining companies, once we have gone through this engagement, we get the feedback of what transpired from the engagements that we had in terms of the contracts that are upcoming, because for us to unlock, we've got to understand where are they going to spend their money in the next coming 6 to 1 year, so that the black industrialists that have positioned themselves are also having a chance to participate. The next slide. We look at the strategy that for us, any companies that we are taking, it should be specific companies around clear categories. And whatever that we are doing, as we have indicated, it should be measurable. We've got to measure that. In terms of the spend, in the case of your, for instance, logistics, how much are you spending as the mining company? So that we begin to see how much is channeled towards you spending on black industrialists that have started companies, that have advanced. For instance, a case in point, I'll talk about this logistics company. It's a young geologist who has started a logistics company, has gone to get finance. Of course, the mining industry came on board through the ESG initiative. They've also, this company has some about 100 trucks. They've even went through ensuring that they are modernizing in alignment with 4IR, their trucks with cameras and everything. We believe that these are industrialists because one of the areas my colleague from NEF that has mentioned is around logistics, because logistics has been partly dominated by companies that are non-transformed. And for us to bring transformed companies which are prepared to revolutionize the logistics space, it's something that we push and as a part of this black industry. Next slide, please. As I've indicated, that one of the key challenges, as much as finance is key, is access to markets. And our intervention, we believe that we take these industrialists that have demonstrated, have come to the department to show that they're interested in participating through these opportunities and exposure to the mining industry. And we also believe that for us to be able to say, indeed, how did you choose this industrialist? We want a transparent process. One of the systems that we are putting in place as what we want to do is to launch a digital platform for the mining industry to ensure that anybody who wants to participate go through a digital platform. The barriers to entry where end users choose the ones that will mostly be used to them are kind of eliminated. And also our pillars of success is competitiveness. We are saying to black industrialists, you need to be competitive. Your price should be competitive. It shouldn't be something as if because we are black, yes, we want to transform, but we need competitiveness so that we drive the economy of the country. Next slide. I think the areas as that we focus on are the areas of industrial machinery. If you can go on the next slide, please, ma'am. The area of industrial machinery, engineering, steel fabrication, logistics, the materials handling. One of the projects that has been supported by NEF is around the materials handling. They've indicated contract mining and digital economy. I've spoken that we will launch something. It's not driven by the department. It's again another black industrialist in partnership with Accenture that are taking the fourth industrial revolution to say, how do we best reimagine our mining supply chains so that they are aligned with what we seek to achieve in terms of ensuring that black companies are exposed to opportunities, and all the companies actually in South Africa, they are able to reach any end user, any supply chain manager without any hurdles that they are currently experiencing. Next slide, please. Now, for us to overcome everything, we had to, as a department, to take a posture of being proactive. We facilitated workshops, engagements, and we called the mining industry to listen to the entrepreneurs so that the entrepreneurs can tell the mining industry, these are the areas that we are at. These are what we can support you with. We are capable businesses. What we need from you is just access to opportunities, because most of the mining companies are using companies that are not even manufacturing locally. They are offshore companies. So for creation of jobs that we so badly need, we need mining companies to use local manufacturing companies. And also in the area of collaboration, we are collaborating, as I've stated initially, with IGC to look at the top 10 items that the mines are procuring, so that they begin to fund those top 10 items, leaning towards the Black Industrialist Program, identifying those black companies that are unable to fund their projects, whereas they've got an opportunity. And also, we do lately ensure that there is implementation of this through these companies. One example is that these companies that I've just mentioned, for instance, steel fabrication, they've got a project at Impala. The other one that is not here, but I know NEF is supporting it, we have put also to ensure that it's a local community company, Bapoba Mukale. We are supporting it in terms of ensuring that its governance structure, the board, it should be there, it should exist to ensure that these companies are thriving. They've got an external monitoring to look at the oversight issues around the company. So we have implemented something. We might not have categories that are clear at the moment, because for us, we were taking an initiative supporting the bigger picture that government wants to achieve. But going forward, we are realizing as a department that we will categorize and begin to, when we report back to in terms of our APP, because we already report around this leg, we categorize in terms of women, in terms of youth, and also the local communities. But currently, we have not categorized those that type of reporting. So as I conclude, I think the companies that have gone through this process, I must say, they have expressed some excitement to the department that they've been given a chance to pitch and engage the end users, meet the relevant people. Very difficult in the mining industry to meet the right person. And for us as a department, a message that we always send is that a business that has no social mission has no reason to exist. So that the companies, the mining companies, can begin to appreciate that black companies actually can offer something. If a black company is a company with a balance sheet of $1 billion already, of course, it's not as DMR, but for us, is to make sure that that company doesn't go down, it goes through, it becomes an industrialist, it can also supply or do their services throughout our borders in South Africa. So that's it from my side. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mabusela. Chair, that brings us to the end of our presentation. It took us less than 20 minutes. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Thank you. I see the hand of Honorable Mashaule. Is that the only hand? Okay. Honorable Mashaule, continue.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to yourself, greetings to members of Parliament, greetings to the DG Mineral Resources and Energy and his team. Greetings to the Deputy Minister and the Acting DG. Chair, I just have one question, and it's a quick one, very direct. It emanates from the slide 9 of the presentation from DTI, which indicated that in Northern Cape, the black industrialist is zero. And I'm just thinking that in a province that mines diamonds and the value chain of processing diamonds, are we not worried that we don't have any black industrialists that we have supported, either from NEF or from ourselves as a department? Is it not a worrying factor? And if it is, why are we where we are? Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, I guess it's only you, Honorable Mahlaule. DJ, I'm sorry if I sound like I'm very rough or I'm not appreciative of the work that is being done. Let me start a simple thing, and I thought one day we will come to this committee if we get a chance. There's one example I have, if we're to talk. So one example I have, I don't know the details. I know, though, that at the time of that difficulty, we tried. There is a company called, I want to, so that this point can be understood better. There is a company called, I think it's Arnold, in Middleburg. I happen to know the guy now. They, and the lady, I remember during the mining in Daba, they were always there chasing after Ezaro and the department. They were retrenched because the mine was closed, something to that effect. They, whatever the processes, I may not know the details. It's one of the cases probably to be of interest. They themselves as workers, they organize themselves, whatever. I know now that the mine, they own it. They own the mine. Maybe one day we can ask them to come just to share how they did it and how it happened and how, if the department did a contribution on it, how did it contribute? I don't know the details. Now, the reason I'm making this example is that, can we say now that those people or those workers are black industrialists? And if so, how did the department help to make them black industrialists? That's point one. The reason I'm asking this thing is that I'm trying to think, and that's why I said even from the DTIC, that maybe my confusion is too much. What is the difference between a black industrialist, a black entrepreneur, a black business enterprise, a black enterprise? Is it one and the same? And then why? Because I don't want us to play with words, create something as if there's something new, when it is something that we always see. I would have thought, for an example, a black industrialist says, there is a deliberate, I want to move out of our own scenario. Black industrialist says, in South Africa, we have not manufactured a car. We are only assembling. Now, we are deliberately making sure that there are South Africans who can produce or who can do and model something that is new. And deliberately, we are pushing for that. Or, put it crudely, we've got a challenge of energy. Black Indus, there were some young men, I can't remember the full story, some young men who was assembling certain stuff, in, I think it was in Mpumalanga, saying this is how we can generate energy. So I would assume, that is why I'm saying maybe my expectations are too much, are different. I would expect to say there is potential here that this person can be able to, if there is massive investment on what this person is doing, then this person can be able to produce this at a massive scale. That to me becomes a black industrialist, because that person has got a conceptual, has originated something. That is why I'm saying, if I'm rough, please bear with me. Maybe that's why I'm saying, maybe my expectations are too high. But I can't see the difference between a black business, a black entrepreneur, and a black, what do you call it, in business enterprise. I've read stories, I think there were some stories where, and it may not fall again in your soul, in your directly in yourself. For an example, that's why I was saying maybe DTIC is here. People would have made investment, and you find that the same DFIs, by collateral, they want to own. So they can kick out a Mr. Mahlaule simply because he's failing to meet so-and-so requirement. But the question is, was it a deliberate government program to make this person to be what is supposed to be based on a good business plan or whatever that they have? And if so, where would have been the fault? Because at the end of the day, we sit here, you may get people who say, no, I'm declared, I'm no longer there because everything just fell apart. That includes women, young people. Is there a mechanism that they get trained to say, if you are going to make an investment on this and you want to generate, this is what we will do. We'll get trained on this and that and that. And then with the capabilities that you have, you can now stand and say, this is what I'm producing. So I don't know, maybe I've got, please help me, maybe I don't understand the conceptually what is a black industrialist. When I stand on a mountain and say, there is a black industrialist, what is it that I'm talking about? If I were to go to the manufacturing, I'm trying to say, from what we know and what we have now, can we say, like I hear the lady, the woman who was presenting, I can't get something that says, like you say, you own the APPs and everything. But for now, even in the report, we don't have typical examples. Do you go out and look for people who want to introduce something new that is in demand and create support systems for those people so that they can deliberately become who they are, what they are? Or do you say, because the person is coming with this thing, we say, no, we will see, go to that room and that room. I'm not sure, because one would ask a question, who is driving that at the end of the day can bring and say, I have produced 5 or 10 black industrialists. Where does that program lie, and who is responsible for it? And how do we measure that? That is where my confusion is at this stage. So it will be very difficult now, whatever the department is presenting, it will be very difficult for me to say it's true or it's not true, because I can't get a measure. How do I measure what the department is saying? Maybe you can help me, DG, on that one.
Thank you.
I see there's no other hand. So let me leave it to you, DG.
Thank you.